Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Have you ever had a memory from your childhood and wondered, whatever happened to that? Recently, I was thinking about something like that, and it was the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Now, I don't know why I was thinking of that, but if you remember the commercials, they would just show up at someone's house with one of those giant checks and knock on the door, and of course, the person opens the door and is completely surprised that they would show up. I wondered if this thing was even still around, but apparently it is, and it's active. I read this past week where a man in New York who had become disabled several years ago won the $5,000 Forever Prize, as it's called, which gives him $5,000 a week for the rest of his life. Plus, after he dies, someone in his family $5,000 a week for the rest of their lives. Now, it's Christmas season, and maybe many of you are in the midst of gift shopping and thinking, man, I would love for Publisher's Clearinghouse to show up at my door with a $5,000 check. Or maybe you've experienced the excitement of winning a contest, or maybe not. Don't feel sorry for me, but I've never won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, I know. I think the biggest thing I've won was Falcons tickets in college when I randomly walked into a Kroger down from the house I was sharing with my roommates, and there was a radio station guy there just giving away tickets. Now, it's a great feeling when we win something, especially if it's a surprise, but what I want to talk about is the unlikelihood of being chosen for something significant. The feeling that you get when you are chosen for something of great importance, despite how you see yourself or even how others see you, can change your life. We're beginning a new series with this message called Hope for Everyone. And really, it's a series about the reality that the birth of Jesus is about the arrival of hope. For hundreds of years, there was a waiting period where God's people were expecting the arrival of the promised Messiah. And with the birth of Jesus, a new day had arrived, and it was a day of hope. Now, hope is something that I think we would all agree is a good thing, but oftentimes, I think we misunderstand it. For example, you might be in a conversation with a friend and say something like, well, I hope your vacation goes well, or I hope traffic's not too bad, or I hope you win your game today, or I hope dinner tastes good. The problem with this kind of hope is it's really not hope at all. It's wishful thinking. You see, a wish is something we want, something we desire. If I say I wish I could have a yacht, it is only based on my desire to have a yacht. There's nothing grounded in reality that says I'm headed towards having a yacht. But hope is not based solely on desire. It's a confident expectation based on reality. Hope is more confident than wishful thinking. The Bible, in fact, has a lot to say about hope. In Hebrews 11, 1, we read, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And Romans 15, 13 tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And Paul writes to his apprentice Timothy and says, "This is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe." So the scriptures tell us that our hope is not based on a desire, but based on the living God. And in this season of Advent, where we are waiting expectantly on the arrival of hope in the form of Jesus, hope is something that everyone needs, and the hope of Jesus is for everyone. So in this series, I want us to look at how everyone can have hope, no matter the circumstances. In the Christmas story, there's something unusual about the announcement of the arrival of hope, and I want us to see that here in this message today. Look at Luke chapter 2. It says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Now, the story up until this point is that the angel has visited Mary and Elizabeth, and the third announcement here comes to the shepherds. And the first thing I want to point out is that this announcement comes in an upside-down way. Now, I don't know who came up with the phrase kingdom economics, but it wasn't me. But in God's economy, things are upside down. And I'm not talking about the Stranger Things upside down. I'm talking about the ways in which God operates are totally counterintuitive to the way society operates. In the world, power is worthy and admirable, but in the kingdom, it's dangerous. So this announcement doesn't come to the elite of society. It comes to a bunch of dudes living out in the outskirts of culture, probably working at the night shift at Texaco. And hey, if that's you, that's totally fine. The shepherds were sort of like roughnecks. And my guess is you don't know any shepherds unless you're maybe from out west. But these guys were rejected by first century Jews. They were considered morally reprehensible, so much so that they were not even allowed to testify in court. Their word was not considered trustworthy. They were looked at as liars, thieves, and lowlifes. And that is who God chooses to bring this announcement to. Not the elite, not the churchgoer, not the one that gives 12% instead of 10%, but the broken, the hopeless, and the helpless. You see, what I've found most often is that a lot of non-Christians have written off God because they feel like God is angry or disappointed at them. So they just say, forget it. God doesn't care. He only wants to punish me. So I'm just going to say, forget him. And they feel like they're forgotten because of where their life is at or what they've done. But this announcement comes to the ones who feel like God has forgotten them. And the announcement is that God is coming. The announcement is that hope is coming. Because if you're not yet a Christ follower, the announcement that God has a message for you might not seem all that good to you. Like, good news from God? Tell me how. I think sometimes we think of the Christmas story in these cute little flannel graphs, you know, with the shepherds over there sort of goofing around. They look kind of goofy. Last year, my son Jude was in a preschool Christmas play, and he was a shepherd. And, you know, Jude is pretty outgoing, actually very outgoing. And at one point during the play, the sound system sort of messed up and it kind of got quiet for a moment. And all of a sudden I hear a kid yell out, "Hey, what's going on here?" Yep, it was my son. And it was that moment where as a parent, you just want to sort of slide down in your seat so that no one sees you. See, I think we envision this announcement maybe like with cute little kids narrating the story, but these guys were freaking out because the living God was coming to them with a word. And it was kind of a holy fear that they had, like total awe of the presence of the angel. And surprisingly, God says, "Hey, this is good news for you." And it's actually good news for everyone because hope is not relegated to the inner circles of society. It's overflowing on the outer circles. God comes to the roughnecks and says, "I have good news for you." And that good news is also good news for you and for me. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And the good news is that Jesus is coming to make all things new. And he's not coming to bring the whip and the tablets of the Ten Commandments and to punish us. He's coming as a friend. He's coming as a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. That is good news. Matthew 9 tells us that when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus is a friend of sinners, and the hope of Christmas reaches the broken, the hopeless, and the helpless. It reaches sinners. It reaches everyone. But sometimes it's hard to have hope. So the question is, how do we keep hope alive in the midst of times like these? I want to explain it like this. In their book, Hope Rising, How the Science of Hope Can Change Your Life, authors Casey Gwynn and Chad Hellman define hope as the belief that your future can be brighter and better than your past, and that you actually have a role to play in making it better. The authors talk about hope being comprised of three elements: goals, pathways, and agency. Goals are your destination. You know, sometimes we have short-term goals like getting up and working out in the morning three times a week for the next few months, or eating a healthy breakfast. And sometimes their goals are more long-term ones, like getting a college degree or finding a career in a field that we're passionate about, or getting married. Pathways are the roadmap between where you are now and your desired goal. They're a series of steps that you take to get to that goal. And then we have what they call agency. Agency is the willpower to reach your goal. It's the ability we have to overcome our fear or doubt or apathy in moving towards that goal. It often involves the encouragement and cheerleading of others who give us the motivation to keep going. And we can think of these three things working together as sort of like a minivan. Now, it's the holiday season, and many of us maybe are taking trips to see family. And if you're driving more than a few hours, that really constitutes a road trip. Now, my wife and I just bought a minivan, and yes, we have crossed over to the dark side, some of you might say. But imagine that you're taking a trip and the goal is the destination, wherever you're headed. What is the destination for the Christ follower? The destination is life with God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The goal is life with God. The goal is our focus. So then what is the pathway? Well, the pathway is the roadmap we follow to grow in our relationship with God. It's the time we spend in God's Word. It's the experiences we have with serving and giving of our time, talents, and treasures. Right now, I'm sure that if you're a Christ follower and I were to ask you, hey, what are some of the experiences that you have had that have helped you mature and grow in your faith? You'd probably mention one of those things: Bible reading, serving, giving, or a group experience. So the pathway is how we grow in God. So we have the goal, which is life with God, the pathway. But what about the agency? What about the willpower to keep moving along the roadmap to the destination? Well, the agency is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us for life and living. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to obey. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us gifts to use for the betterment of the church. So the agency is the Spirit of God. Life with God, growth with God, Spirit of God. Those are the goal, pathways, and agency in our journey of hope. But like a road trip, life is full of distractions, isn't it? Now, on a road trip, it might be, those distractions might be like screaming children, you know, throwing toys or food around. But in life, it's often the stress of normal daily responsibilities or the burdens of past trauma or broken relationships, a childhood experience that affects our adult life. You know, all of these things can distract us from our goal. And on a road trip, they distract us by getting in the front seat, blocking our view. And like a kid waving a toy or a book in front of your face while you're trying to drive, our burdens can wave themselves in front of our face and keep us from focusing on our goal. But hope is what allows us to focus on God and to move the distractions to the back of the van. See, hope minimizes the impact that our distractions have on us. They're not thrown out of the van because that's not what life is. They're just moved to the back seat where they cannot keep us from the goal. Friends, I want to encourage you today that the distractions that are in the front seat of your life, keeping you from focusing on the goal of life with God, God wants to minimize them. He wants to really take away their power. And it gives us the freedom to not be bound by them anymore, to not be bound by a past mistake or by a broken relationship or an addiction that we have. And that is why we can have hope. Hope can get you there. Life with God. Andy Dufresne, the character in Shawshank Redemption, says this, that hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. With Jesus, our hope never dies. Apostle Paul again tells us in Colossians 1 that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus as the hope of glory is the reality that we don't just wish that a brighter future is ahead of us. We wait in confident expectation. Jesus as the hope of glory means that everything that is beautiful or magnificent is now surpassed by the beauty and magnificence of Jesus. Jesus coming as a baby signifies the coming of hope. Hope is now here. Good news is here. And the good news is that this hope is for everyone. I want to pray with me. God, I ask that you would just be with us now. That God, that we would receive the hope we have in you. And God, we would see that the hope we have in you, that life with you is ahead of us. And that through the empowerment of your Spirit and with Jesus, God, we can have hope. God, I pray that every single person watching this would realize the true hope they have in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.